Amen. It is an amazing love that allows us to be here every Sunday morning. Amen. All right. Hey, it is great to be here. It is fantastic to get to see all you guys here. It's less fantastic to see some of you because, well, you know who you are. But hey, right now our kids have the opportunity to go back to some amazing teachers that have been studying and working all week long to prepare some great class. So that way they have an opportunity to learn and understand scripture in a way that makes sense to them. And you know, our kids ministry is something that is continuing to grow, and we're continuing to try to put more and more resources into that so that the kids ministry can grow and we can be a blessing to the kids here at Leaf River. Of course, those of you that are online, joining us online, we want to thank you for choosing to be a part of our extended spiritual family this morning. We would love to see you in person, but we understand sometimes that's not a possibility. So we are blessed that you've joined us. And hey, if you are not in the Leaf River area, I encourage you to be a part of a local church wherever you are. If you are in the Leaf River area, I encourage you to come on out and say hi. And there's a few people here today that would love to give you a cup of coffee. I won't, because I've been told that I don't actually give people a cup of coffee. So we're going to just ignore that thing. Hey, okay, so over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this guy named Abram. Okay, this guy named Abram. And Abram had a pretty significant encounter with God when he was 75 years old. Now, those of you that are age blessed, imagine at your 75th birthday having this interaction with God, okay? Now, Merle left, but we did talk about you guys a little bit last week. We were unsure about why you weren't here. So Abram has this encounter with God at 75 years old where God promised Abram three things. Okay, first of all, he promised him land. He said, leave everything that you know, everything that you love, everything that you're comfortable with, and go to a place that I'm going to tell you about later. I'm not going to tell you where. So he promises him land. Then he promises him descendants as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, I don't know if you guys can count that high, but I can't, because that's a really big number. But God's like, you know, if you can figure out the dust of the earth, I'm going to give you descendants as much as the stars in the sky. Like, that is a lot of descendants, y'all. That is a whole lot of babies that are going to be popping up somewhere along the line. But then on top of that, God promises Abram to be blessed. He promises him blessings. Not only did God say, I'm going to bless you, but he said, I will bless other people that bless you, and I will curse other people that curse you. So Abram is going to be blessed like crazy. And then we saw that kind of played out in Egypt, right? I don't know if you guys remember, but Abram went to Egypt. He lied to the king of Egypt about his wife Sarai. And then the king of Egypt, his whole household, came down with these plagues, okay? And these plagues, they came down with these plagues because they had the intention of taking advantage of Sarai. And that was a pretty interaction, a pretty amazing, intense interaction with this guy named Abram, because they attempted to harm Abram and Abram's family. And so God cursed them and sent them plagues, okay? And so Abram saw that. And then Lot, last week we saw that Abram and Lot, that they had to separate, right? There was not enough land resources for them to all hang out there. So they had to separate. And then long story short, you can go back to last week. You can listen to that if you weren't here. Long story short, we saw how Abram chose the promises of God, but that Lot chose to reject the promises of God and go off on his own and do his own thing, right? So Lot rejected the promises of God, and Abram chose to worship the Lord. Okay, that's what we saw last week. And this is amazing. There's something amazing, and I'm going to use a few illustrations, I think, today. We'll see how they work out. But when you enroll, when you decide to jump into this school of faith, okay, that's what I'm just kind of calling Christianity, the desire to want to know more about Christ and the desire to want to grow in your faith. When you jump into that, you never know what you're going to see, what you're going to learn, right? On one day, you're going to visit Abram and he's going to be settling a border dispute, right? He's going to be working that out. And then the next day, you're going to see him gearing up like SEAL Team 6 and going after and going into battle. Like, that's what we're going to look at today. It's amazing the things that God is doing through Abram and what we're going to see God do through Abram. And here's the thing. God wants us, you and me, to mature in every aspect of our lives. Listen, Christianity, our life of faith, is not something that is simply played out in this room. Okay, this is something that should be played out in every aspect of your life. At work, at home, as you're driving to the store and somebody cuts you off, right? And then you go cut them off and you've got that fish sticker on the back of your car and you're like, I'm a member of Leaf Rip. Don't put a sticker on your car if you are a bad driver, okay? But this is something our faith should be going into every aspect of our life. But that doesn't come easy, right? Because when you mature, when you grow, sometimes that can be hard. Now, I remember as a kid growing up, I don't know if this is like scientifically accurate, okay? But parents, I think every parent here has said this, and I maybe it's true. I think it's probably true. But anyway, as I'm growing, as I'm a kid, my legs would just hurt, right? Like my shin. And it was always, well, that's just growing pains. You're just having growing pains. Just deal with it. That's growing pain. And we face that in our spiritual relationship as well, right? When, as we are growing, sometimes things are uncomfortable. But there's an old saying, and some those of you that are, what's the word I'm looking for? Those of you that are afflicted with the illness of exercise, there's a phrase that goes, no pain, no gain, right? No pain, no gain. And so that's kind of the same thing is true in our spiritual life, right? No pain, no gain. There can be no growth without challenge, and there can be no challenge without change. That's important to think about. Everything would be predictable all the time. If everything was predictable all the time, if you knew exactly what was going to happen every moment of every day, then there would be no opportunity for true growth, right? You wouldn't be able to actually grow and be challenged and be something. There's an author, a poet by the name of William Cullen Bryant. And here's what he wrote. Weep not that the world changes, did it keep a stable, changeless state? 'Twas cause indeed to weep. He's a poet, and what he's saying here is that when there is no change, that's when you weep, right? That's boring. It's just, you're just existing. And as I looked at this quote this week, as I read this from this author, my mind just went to this old movie from the 90s. And some of you will remember this movie. But there was a movie in the 90s called The Truman Show. Okay. And in The Truman Show, I got a little picture here. This is Jim Carrey. And in The Truman Show, the deal was everything was planned out and pretty much the same thing all the time for this guy. And the whole world was just watching him. Right? The whole world was watching everything that happened because everything was planned out and identical for this main character named Truman. And eventually what happened is he got so sick of it that he was willing to risk his life and make something different. He was willing to risk his life to attempt, not even to guarantee, but to attempt to make something different, right? There's a lot more to the movie. We're not going to really talk about the movie, but the idea of everything being the same, and this guy decided I would rather risk my life and possibly die than continue existing in the exact same thing day after day after day after day after day. Today we're going to see Abram. And we're going to see Abram as a man of faith fulfill three specific roles. Three specific roles. We're going to see Abram the watcher. We're going to see Abram the warrior. And we're going to see Abram the worshiper. And in all three of these roles, Abraham exercised faith in God that allowed him to make the right decisions. And today, I hope to encourage you in that same way, that whatever role you're taking, that in that same way, you're going to be encouraged to rely and exercise your faith to make the right decisions in whatever it is that you have going on. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this chapter, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 14. And in this chapter, there is so much in this chapter that I'm not going to be able to cover it all. Okay, my goal here this morning is to kind of whet your appetite so that you want to go and you want to read it yourself a little bit more and you want to understand a little bit more about what's going on with Abram. I've also started on Wednesdays uploading a video recap where I'm attempting to kind of condense the message as well as potentially give new information, and that'll go out on Facebook. And so you'll want to keep an eye on that to be able to kind of keep up with what's going on. Now, let's just jump into it, right? Because I've got a lot to cover today, and so that means you guys are going to have to like write fast and listen fast and whatever. So Abram the watcher, that's what we're going to look at first. Abram the watcher. Okay, so what does it mean to be a watcher? What am I talking about when I mention Abram the watcher? That's what we're going to look at first this morning. Okay, that's the first thing I want us to look at. And really, the thing we need to do in order to see Abram the watcher is we really need to kind of just read the scripture and see what pops out at us. Okay, so I'm going to read the scripture, and I want to encourage you guys as I'm reading, follow along. Follow along. The scripture will be on the screen. It's also in the pew Bibles. It's in Bibles in the back. It's in the Bible app. Bible everywhere. Okay, so be sure to have your own Bible. Follow along and see what pops out at you. Okay, see what hits you when you think about Abram the watcher. What is Abram the watcher? We're going to start off looking at Genesis chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. Now, there's a lot of hard names in this particular chapter, and so you guys have to just bear with me a little bit because I'm not that smart, okay? So Genesis chapter 14. In the days of, I'm going to use this because it's bigger. That's a lot of hard words right there. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim. These kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shimber, king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. And all of these joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him came and defeated the Rephaim, the Ashtaroth, Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Inam, Imam in Sheva Kiriathim, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir as far as El Paran in the border of the wilderness. They turned back and came to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboiim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out and they joined battle in the valley of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Okay, let me just break this down really quick. Four kings coming in, attacking, five kings defending themselves. Okay, that's basically what's going on here. Now, in the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits. I'm just going to, that word bitumen, that's tar pits, okay? Asphalt, tar. Think of the La Brea tar pits. That's the kind of, to get your mind around the bitumen pits. And as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them and the rest fled to the hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went on their way. Whew, that was a whole lot of stuff going on, okay? Basically, you've got Sodom and Gomorrah. If you guys remember, Lot decided to live in Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, over around the Dead Sea. And there's four kingdoms. There's four city places there with kings. And then up north, like Turkey-ish area, okay, there's five kings up there. And these five kings have been oppressing these four kings for 12 years, okay? The 13th year, these four kings are like, we're not doing this anymore. So the 14th year, they decide to fight about it, right? So that gives you a brief kind of a overview of what's going on. Now, this is the very first war ever talked about in Scripture. Okay, this is the very first war. But it was almost certainly, not the very first war to ever exist. Okay, I'm sure that there were more wars, but this is the first one that's recorded in Scripture. So that should tell us something, right? So it's important to think about this. As you're reading the Bible, this is important. As you're reading the Bible, Scriptures are historical facts. Okay, it's a history book, but it's a little bit more than that, right? Because it's a history book that God put together for us, which means God chose the events that he wanted in the history book, right? And so it becomes important for us as we read this book to be able to see what the significance is, why God put it there. And many times we can see spiritual truths come out of historical events, okay? And that is incredibly true in this chapter today. We're going to see some spiritual truths come out of these just historical events. And we have to remember that God put them there for a reason, and it becomes our job to read and to study them to understand why they're there, to understand why these stories are there. So this is the first war ever recorded, which means it's important, okay? And I'm going to go over again the super condensed four kings and their armies. They're coming down to defeat five kings and their armies. Five kings. Math is simple. Five kings should be able to beat four kings. Like, if you've ever played Risk, that's a pretty good odds that five beats four. But they all lose. And not only do they lose, they run away. Like, they scamper like little rats. And what's really sad is that they get caught in these tar pits that they for sure knew about, because this is their kingdom. They had to know that stuff was there and where they were, but instead of paying attention, they're just scampering. They're just running away. And as they're doing that, they're leaving their cities completely defenseless. And that's messed up, because when they're defenseless, well, they completely get ransacked, right? Sodom and Gomorrah completely get ransacked. And not only are they ransacked, not only are things taken, but people are taken as well. And Lot is one of those people. Lot was not only robbed, he was taken as a prisoner of war. Okay, that's basically what happened. In other words, he's probably going to become a slave. Like, that's more than likely what's going to happen here. Now, Lot seems to be ignoring the promises of God. You guys remember that last week? Lot chose to go outside of the area that God said was his, and he chose to continue going outside so that he could get closer to Sodom. And we saw that Sodom was a place that was filled with great sin. So Lot chose to reject the promises of God
and to instead go to this place of great sin. And what's really interesting here is that in the New Testament, there's a guy by the name of Peter, and he wrote a book, a couple of letters. And in his letter in 2 Peter, and I'm not going to read the scripture, but you guys write it down, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Peter calls Lot righteous. Now, that doesn't really seem to fit that Lot would be righteous when he so clearly went away from the Lord. He chose to leave the Lord. And so what makes Lot righteous? That's just something to think about. What makes Lot righteous? And very likely, it's this event right here that makes Lot righteous, right? It's this event that drives Lot to refocus on the Lord instead of the world around him and the joys that he's experiencing through the life that he was living. And here's what happened. Abram is sitting back watching all of this, right? Abram is chilling. Abram is doing his thing. And more than likely, Abram is praying for his nephew, Lot. Abram is watching Lot. Abram saw that Lot left the promises of the Lord and instead went to go do his own thing. And I know that many of you here, many of you joining us online, can relate to that exact same thing. We can relate to the concept of praying for your loved one who has run from the Lord. Praying for your loved one who so clearly has rejected the promises of the Lord. In whatever form that takes, whether it's an outward behavior by buying into some of our cultural ideologies, or whether it's a something that looks good, but you can tell that they have simply chosen to reject the Lord. Maybe they're living a great moral life, but they're choosing to reject the Lord. And so we pray for them, right? And we see this happening to people all over the place. But here's what happened with Lot. Lot had a desire to live according to the ways of the world. And because Lot had a desire to live according to the ways of the Lord, then that's what led to his capture. And we see this happening countless times to people that we love. Lot was taken as a prisoner of war, and countless times we see our loved ones taken as prisoners of war. Sure, I'm not talking about a physical war here, right? I'm talking about a spiritual war that's waging all around us. And we see our loved ones being swept away and becoming prisoners of a spiritual war. And so our heart breaks, right? As we pray, as we cry out to the Lord, Lord, change their heart, do something in their, and we watch, we sit back and we watch because there's nothing we can do at this moment, right? And so we watch and we pray and we lift them up to the Lord, and then we watch as they're captured. As they're in this spiritual war, and our heart breaks. And I can tell you through my own experiences, I've seen people be swept away little by little, right? And we watch, and we pray for those who need the Lord. And we watch and pray for those who need the Lord. And that's where Abram is. Abram's watching. Abram's hanging back. He's watching all of this stuff happen. He has people bringing him reports constantly about what's going on, right? He knows what's going on in his region where he's living, okay? He knows about these wars. He knows about the kings coming down and overtaking all of these places. He's watching it happen. And he's watching Lot and Lot's family live among the world. Now, maybe Lot started off not wanting to conform to the world, right? Not wanting to really buy into everything that the world was offering. He simply wanted to see what was out there. He wanted to be a friend of sinners. Maybe he started off just saying, I just want to see what's out there. And over time, Lot would conform his life more and more into the patterns of the world. And then Lot would be condemned with the world as well. Again, we see it happening all around it. I see it with people that I was once close to that have slowly allowed their lives to be transformed by the ideologies of the world, by the sin of the world all around us. And they slowly transfer their allegiances. They slowly decide, maybe church isn't really the thing for me because this and this and this. Maybe I just want to see what's out there. And slowly, as they see what's out there, they change more and more into what's out. I can tell you from my own life. Like I grew up in church. And then slowly I was like, I want to see what's out there. And I saw this, and then I wanted to see what else was out there. And so I took another step, and then another step, and then another step, until finally I was so far from the Lord that my dad broke down in driving, praying that the Lord would save me. He was watching and praying. And so we watch that all around us. And it's increasingly disheartening, isn't it? It's increasingly hard in our hearts as we watch our loved ones reject the promises of the Lord. Now, hopefully, Abram and what we see Abram is going to do, hopefully will inspire every single one of us here this morning. Because what we're about to see is we're about to watch what Abram does. Because Abram doesn't stay as a watcher, right? There comes a point when he moves on from being a watcher and he becomes Abram the warrior. Yeah. Abram sees what's happening all around him. Abram sees someone he cares about. And Abram suits up and takes care of business. Abram gets out there and takes care of it. Let's look at this passage and you will see, hopefully you will see why I'm so impressed with what Abram does here. Starting in verse 13. Then one who had escaped, remember the battle, the war, one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew who was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Anar. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all, not some, all the possessions, and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. Did you guys see what Abram just did? Like, Abram, this is, let me be very clear. This is the only time we will read about Abram the warrior. But man, it's a good one. Abram steps up and Abram takes these 318 men and they get on the road and they take off after these four kings that just decimated the entire region, made armies run and hide and scatter like rats. Whenever you see the word king in this context, four kings, that's four armies. That's not just four people, okay? And so they get up and they ride after these four kings that have just pillaged and stolen and enslaved everything and everyone in the entire region. They just take off. Abram with his 318 men take everything
that was taken. They take it all back. And as I was reading this week, I had a picture in my mind. And those of you that are Marvel fans, you might appreciate this, but there's a movie, Captain America, okay, the first Avenger, Captain America. He sees his buddy get enslaved by the Nazis, right? And he decides on his own to suit up and to go and to release every captive and totally take down, like, the Nazis. Like, Captain America did it all. If you haven't seen the movie, it's awesome. Okay, but Captain America, he takes off and he rescues everyone that has been captive. That's what Abram just did. Abram suited up and he took off and he took care of business. When it was time to act, Abram acted. And he did what was needed to protect those he loved. Do you think maybe some of those he loved might not have appreciated the tactics that he had to use, but I guarantee they appreciated being freed, right? So 318 men took on four armies that just decimated everything and won. Not only did he get Lot back, he got back every person that was taken as a prisoner of war, every animal that was taken as whatever stuff, every possession, everything that was taken, Abram and his men brought back. That's amazing, y'all. Abram did what was needed to protect those that he cared about. Now, I'm about to say something that might frustrate you a little bit, might step on some toes. How many of us in this room today, how many of us joining online can say that we have done or we would do what Abram just did? And I don't mean like actually suit up and, you know, get your swords. That's not what I'm talking about. Remember I said as we read these historical facts, God put them there for a reason. And we can see spiritual truth through these historical facts. And so if I have a loved one that is a prisoner of a spiritual war, am I willing to suit up and go out and go into battle? That's what Abram did. And listen here, I'm going to talk for a minute to any parent in the room, any parent online. Listen very carefully. You are in a battle for the soul of your child. It is not time to say hands off. It is not time to say I'm just going to be a free range parent and let my kid do what they're going to do. And if they want to do this and if they want, it's not time to do that. It's time to act to protect your loved ones. Because I guarantee you, if you are a hands off parent, in 10 years, you're going to come back saying, Billy, why didn't I protect my kids? Guys, I've seen it happen time and time again where parents have said, I'm going to take my hands off and I'm going to let my kids do what my kids want to do. And then they come back and they say, Billy, why did my kids do this? Why are my kids behaving like this? Why don't my kids just even come to church and be a participant in life? Like, what is going on around us? I guarantee you, parents, if you step back, the world and the culture all around us will step in. Last week, I told you guys a little bit about what was going on in the culture around us. Parents, it's time to mount up with your trained men and pursue battle. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, the same thing is true. It's time to suit up with your trained men then go as far in pursuit as you have to reach your loved one and bring them back. And bring them back with you to the Lord. Here's the problem. In order to mount up with your trained men, you have to be trained yourself. You have to be ready. You have to be connected to trained men so that you can get trained. Listen, we have Bible studies that happen through the week. We have Bible studies that happen here on Sunday morning. If you are not a part of one of these Bible studies, you need to be a part of one of these Bible studies because you need to be connected to trained men to be able to protect your loved ones from everything all around. Very soon, I'm going to be announcing the launch of a class called Bible 101. And in this class, it's going to be a class that gives us the opportunity to see why the Bible is the best-selling book of all time, why we can believe it, and why we should hold it as true. That's what this class is going to, it's going to be like training. It's the first step of training to get out there. And if you're interested in this class, then I want you right now, I want you to make a note. I want you to email, text, something. If you're interested in this class, make a note on the Connect card online. Send us a message and get it to me so that we can make this class when it will be best for everybody, okay? But listen, here's what we know about Abram. Abram was a warrior when a warrior is what was needed. Abram was a warrior when a warrior is what was needed. Remember, this is the only time we read about Abram being a warrior. This is the only time we read about Abram going to war. But Abram was trained, Abram was strapped, and Abram was ready for battle. But that's not the end of his story. And I hope it's not the end of our story, not the end of your story. Because after Abram went to battle, we see Abram the worshiper. Now, this is the Abram that we're more accustomed to, right? This is the Abram that we see more and more often is Abram the worshiper. And that's fantastic. Because Abram was a faithful worshiper. And we see that in his story in various ways all over the place. And so let me just say this. Men, if there are any men here today, any men online that would say worshiping is for women and children, did you just see what Abram did? Abram was a man. Like, he was a man that I guarantee every one of us in this room would be afraid of. Okay? But then Abram was a worshiper. So let's take a look at that, starting in Genesis 14, verse 17. It says, after his return from the defeat, there's a whole bunch of big words again. Here we go. After the return of his defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who were with me. Let Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share. So listen, I said that Abram was a worshiper, and we read this passage, and we don't see Abram set up an altar the way that we've seen before. We've seen him build altars and worship the Lord and offer sacrifices, but we don't see that happening here, right? He doesn't build an altar. He doesn't go back to one of his other altars. So how does Abram worship?
I remember I asked you early on, I said, as we read the scriptures, look for yourself to see if you can see how Abram was a watcher, how Abram was a warrior, and now how Abram is a worshiper. So look at what Abram did here. First, we see that Abram was greeted by the kings of the land. We have Melchizedek, who is the king of Salem, which is a shortened form of Jerusalem, okay? This king is known as the king of righteousness. This king immediately greeted Abram with bread and wine and worshiping the Lord by acknowledging where Abram's blessings came from, right? He didn't come out and say, Abram, you're the man, you're awesome. He came out and said, Abram, you're the man. God is so good to use you. He acknowledged that everything, that all of these possessions actually were from God, that God possesses everything that they see. He's acknowledging God is sovereign over everything that has just happened. Now, it's important to realize that Melchizedek is a priest of the Lord, right? He's a king, but he's a priest of the Lord. And that tells us why his focus, why Melchizedek's focus was to worship the Lord first, right? And this allows Abram to worship with Melchizedek. Abram's response to this opportunity with Melchizedek, Abram's response is to worship by giving Melchizedek 10% of everything as an offering to the King of Righteousness. So in this, we see Abram worshiped by choosing God. Abram worshiped by choosing God. And that's not all that happened, though, right? Because then this other king came out, and this other king offered Abram everything that they retrieved from the invading kings. Listen, these invading kings have taken over like 10 kingdoms. And he's offering all of it to Abram. Abram would be like the richest dude to exist. He has an opportunity to become insanely rich. However, Abram refuses the riches from King Sodom. So why does he do that? He does that because he has made a commitment to the Lord. He has made a commitment to the Lord that he would not take anything that belonged to the king of Sodom. Abram also acknowledges that the Lord is sovereign over all of this, right? And that he is going to rely on the Lord to give him his possessions. He's not going to rely on the king of Sodom to give him his possessions. So here we see that Abram worshiped by rejecting the world. Abram worshiped by rejecting the world. I remember I said earlier that as we read these historical events in Scripture, that we're able to see spiritual truths. And this is so true in this passage. We see that Lot suffered the consequences of his desire to conform to the world around him. We see that Abram went into battle to save his nephew, and we see the interactions between two very different kings. One king, called the King of Righteousness, offered an opportunity to worship. We saw him bring the bread and the wine, which is something that we have a very different perspective on this side of the resurrection. This side of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, we see the bread and the wine as something very different, right? Because we see even in this action of the King of Righteousness bringing this out to Abram to worship, we see a glimpse of the gospel fulfilled. Contrast that to the king of Sodom. Sodom that's known as the place of wickedness. All of the attractions of the world around them. But Abram chose to worship with Melchizedek. Now, each and every one of us are faced with this exact same choice every single day. We're faced with the decision of focusing on and worshiping the Lord, or allowing the delight of the eyes of the world around us to press us into taking what's offered there. You and I are faced with the decision about protecting those around us, about spiritually protecting those around us, or simply watching and hoping for the best. And then being surprised when things don't go the way that we hoped. We're faced with the decision to get trained, to get prepared, and to go into battle when necessary. Or we're faced with the decision to slowly be conformed to this world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So, are you being transformed by the renewal of your mind, or are you being conformed to the world all around you? If you're here or joining us online and you've been part of Leaf River, part of this church, part of a church for the last 50 years, or whether you've just started deciding to look into church relatively new, let me encourage you that it is not too late and it is not too soon to make the decision based on the power of Scripture versus allowing your life to be conformed into the image of the world around us. Your life should not be conformed to the culture. It should look like this. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Let me be very clear right now this morning. If you have, or if you choose to be transformed into the image of Christ, then you better be ready for battle. Like, it's just gonna happen, and it's not gonna be easy. But while it's not easy, I promise you, it's worth it. When you rely on the God of Abram, when you rely on the faithfulness that we see through the God of Abram to fulfill the promises that he has made to each and every one of us in this room and online, to the promises that he has made for us, it's not easy, but it's such a joy. This morning, I've asked the worship team to come up, and they're going to play, and they're going to sing a chorus. They're going to do something. And as they're playing and singing, I want to ask everyone to bow your head. Everyone to just take a moment and focus on you and the Lord. And focus on the God of Abram, the God who is faithful to bring you through whatever stress you're facing right now, whatever situation you're dealing with that you're currently experiencing. Take a moment to focus on the God who is faithful to walk with you through these easy times, just as he is to walk with you and carry you through the hard times. And then after the chorus, after they sing for us, they're going to ask us to stand and worship with them. And I want to encourage you to stand to worship with the Lord with one heart and one mind as a body of believers. Let me encourage you, lift your hands, lift your eyes, lift your hearts, and lift your voices to the Lord in worship. To the God of Abram, to to the faithfulness that we see and prepare yourself by acknowledging the Lord God Most High, possessor of everything in heaven and on earth. Father God, thank you for giving us you, Lord, for allowing us to see what it means to worship you, for allowing us to see our need to watch over our loved ones, to be prepared to go into spiritual battle for our loved ones, and most importantly, Lord, to worship you. God, this morning as we sit here, as we stand here, as we refocus our eyes on you, Lord, we ask that you would challenge us, that you would change us, that you would continue to transform us into your glory and into your image, Lord, in everything that we do.